All right, welcome to Radical. Thank you guys so much for pressing in worship with us today. And I'm pumped to get into the message. We're in part 9 of our series, Supernatural. Somebody say Supernatural. Come on now say it like you want to see it. Say Supernatural. Come on now, I like that. Here we go. The title of today's message is simply this: Healing for Today. Healing for Today. How many of you believe that God is a God that still heals today? Amen? Come on now. We just sang it a minute ago, so I hope that you believe it. We said you were a healer then, and you're a healer now, right? Savior then, you're a savior now. He's still doing what he's been doing, and he's going to keep doing it, okay? Come on now. So healing is for today. We talked in Acts chapter 3 just a few weeks ago about the healing of the lame beggar, how this man who had been paralyzed his entire life was sitting out in front in the of the gate beautiful to the temple, and Peter and John come up to him and say, hey, I don't have silver and gold, but what I have, I give to you. Get up and walk, right? And he gets healed. And so in Acts chapter 4, they get brought before all of the religious leaders of the day, the highest of the highest people that have something to say in the Jewish community now. They get brought before them, and they're questioning them. And yet, it says in Acts 4:13 that they turned, and they were just basically like, well, the man is obviously healed. He's right here, so what else is there to say, you know? The power of God had moved and had touched this man through Peter and through John. And so we talked about this healing, and there's so many instances in the life of Jesus, and there's so many instances in the book of Acts where people are healed. And so I want to take a moment and really look at healing, what it means for us today, and maybe some mindsets that we need to shift, some things that we believe about God that are off, that we need to change the way we believe and the way that we think about God and who he is and what he does. But there is a passage in Acts chapter 5, the next chapter as we go on, and I want to read it to you real quick. We don't have verses on the screen today. I just want you to lock in with me. It's in Acts chapter 5, 14 through 16. If you have your Bible, you can turn there. And it says, more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. The people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. So I want to talk about healing today. I want to talk about that it is for today, and some things that we need to think and some things we need to believe. And so I'm going to give you some thoughts, and I hope that it will stir up your spirit to believe for big things, to believe for mountains to be moved in the name of Jesus. Amen? Come on, let's pray. Father God, open up our eyes, ears, and hearts to receive the word of God today. Would you help us to see you so clearly, maybe more clearly than we ever have before, that you have a heart to heal. In Jesus' name, somebody said, amen. First thing I want to mention to you today, and this is a good one, y'all. We're talking about Easter right now. Today's Palm Sunday, and we're going into Easter season right now. And it is that Jesus bought your healing on the cross. Amen? Jesus bought your healing on the cross. That is a great truth that we can always hold on to. It says Isaiah 53:5, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are what? Healed. We are healed by the wounds of Jesus. And when he died on the cross, it says that he purchased your salvation. He became sin who knew no sin. You and I had sin, and he became that sin. And so he put himself on the cross when he didn't deserve to be there. It was you and I that deserved to be there. But he purchased our salvation. Well, what is the word salvation? When we look in the New Testament, it's sozo. Sozo. It means saved, healed, delivered, and made whole. There's just a few different things that sozo means. It's not just, many times this is what we do. We think of salvation, we see salvation in the word of God, and we believe it's like, okay, I'm saved, you know, I've asked Jesus into my life, and I'm serving God, and now I'm going to heaven, right? And that's true, and that's great, but that's just one little piece of what salvation really means. Salvation is so much more than just making it into heaven. It's getting heaven into you, amen? It's getting heaven down on earth as it is in heaven. Man, we want to see heaven on earth. We don't want to just barely make it into heaven, just scraping by. No, no, no. It means that we are saved, but it also says that we are healed. That's another meaning of the word sozo. So along with your salvation, you also become healed. Along with your healing, it also says that you have been delivered from the enemy, right? Oh my goodness, that's a good word right there. It also says that you have been made whole. So what once was broken is now whole. The old man is gone and the new man has come. You are a new creation in Christ when you get saved. But you've also been healed. That's a part of salvation. And so I want to look to that piece of this salvation that Jesus purchased for us on the cross, which is our healing. At the end of the day, we believe that, and you can't heal anybody, and I can't heal anybody. Only Jesus can, right? Jesus paid for it. It's his healing for you. It's not something that I can give you, right? When Peter says, a silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, I give to you. What is he giving? He's given Jesus, right? He's just letting the Holy Spirit flow through him in that moment to bring healing to this man. And so only Jesus can heal. It says, they were praying in the last chapter, we talked about this. They're praying for boldness, right? And they had just been questioned and they had just been released finally. And he's saying, the believers prayed for boldness. And then as you stretch out your hand to heal God, like we're going to pray for, we're going to believe for big things. God, we're going to go after more people to be saved. As you are stretching out your hand to heal, he's saying, it's not me, it's all you, God. It's not my power. It's the power of God working through me. So why does Jesus heal? Why does he choose to do this? Ultimately, it's just because he loves you. It's just because he loves us so much. We really make it about so much more than what it really is. It's just his nature to heal. That's who God is. John G. Lake was a great pastor, evangelist, teacher, and had a great healing ministry in the late 1800s and early 1900s. And he says this, Jesus did not heal the sick in order to coax them to be Christians. He healed because it was his nature to heal. That's good, isn't it? Many times I think if we're praying for somebody, you know, like, and we're praying for them to be healed, if I'm praying for somebody, I'm hoping that they're going to become a Christian right after this, right? You know, I'm praying and I'm just like, Lord, you know, like you're going to, you know, touch them and then they're going to believe what we believe, you know? It's like, that's not what it's about. It's just about the fact that Jesus loves you so much that he wants to heal your body and mind right now. He loves you and he cares. And it's in his nature to heal. It's in his nature to bring wholeness, to take broken things and put them back together in a more beautiful way than even they were at the beginning. It's in his nature to heal. But many times we make it about becoming Christians or believing what we believe or going to church on a Sunday. No, no, no. Healing is just about that person and God loving them very much. And that's what we need to make it about. And God, you know, I don't want to say I pride myself in this because it's not something that I do, but it's just something that God has gifted me with. And I'm grateful that I really feel like I could hear the voice of God. Not audibly, okay? Sometimes audibly, terrifying. But every once in a while, I can just feel where he's leading. And I could hear what he wants me to do. And he speaks to me. And I'm able to listen and to hear that and decipher that and what that means. And I'm grateful for that gift because this church would not exist if it wasn't for it. So I've told you this in the past. If you've been here for the last few months, in November, God told me that we needed to start going through the book of Acts and we needed to start going after the supernatural and that God would bring miracles and signs and wonders in and through this church. He promised that we would see healings, that we would see miracles, and amazing supernatural things happen right here in our services, but also outside of these four walls in you and through you and through me. Amen? This is what God has told me. And that's why I said, let's just go through the book of Acts. Let's believe God for big things. Come on, I'm tired of believing God for molehills. We're going to believe for mountains to be moved in the name of Jesus. Come on now. This is what we want to see. We want to see the power of God moving in us and through us. I don't want to have a dead faith or a dead church or a dead religion. No, our God is alive and he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was healing then. He wants to heal now. Amen? And so this is what I believe God has said is coming for us and has already begun. That we'll see revival in Hays County and it's going to be because of Radical Church. It's going to be because of what happens right here in us and through us. And so we're going after it, but here's the thing. I think there's some mindsets that need to be changed. There's some things that we think about God and about the things that he does and how he operates that if we have the wrong mindset about who he is, we're not going to be able to see the things he wants to do. We're not going to be able to see the breakthrough that I feel like God wants for us. And so I encourage you, please lean in to what God is doing. Lean in. Don't push back, but lean in. Even in the midst of questions, in the midst of misunderstandings, I want us to be hungry for more of God. Amen? Like that's at the core of it, that's what we got to do. We just got to be hungry for more. And so the number one thing that you have to believe in order to see healing in your life, there's one thing. For you to be able to operate in the gift of healing, for you to be able to pray for other people, to see them healed, for sometimes even for you to be able to receive healing, the number one thing that you have to know is this. You guys ready? I feel like you're a little nervous right now. It's all right. Here we go. Number one thing is, it is God's will to heal. It is God's will to heal. Now, I know many great Christian people. I know many great pastors, leaders, and just church members over the years. I've been in church my entire life. Every single pastor, leader, evangelist that has a great healing ministry, they all believe this, that it is always God's will to heal. There's a lot of other pastors, leaders, whatever they might be, evangelists, that do not believe this, that it is always God's will to heal. And would you believe it? They never see any healings. The people that see the most healings believe that it's always God's will to heal. The people that don't see healings don't believe that. And so when I'm looking at it from a practical standpoint, when I look to the Word of God and I look to the men of God that have gone before me and the women of God that have gone before me, and I look at all the revivals that I've ever seen that have happened in our nations and our world's history, they all seem to say the same thing. And that it's always God's will to heal, that he wants to heal people's physical bodies, heal your mind, heal your emotions, heal your soul. Why? Because it's a part of the salvation that Jesus already purchased. Come on now, somebody. Your healing has already been bought and paid for. So why would we not be praying for it when it's already something that we have received? It is God's will to heal. So I want to read some verses to you today. Ready? Luke 6. And he came down with them, verse 17. He came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and the great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to him to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured, and all the crowd sought to touch him, for power came out from him and healed them all. Somebody say, all. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with them. Somebody say, all. Acts 5. We just read it. More than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so they even carried out the sick into the streets, laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. The people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those affected with unclean spirits, and they were, somebody guess, all healed. Guys, catching my drift here? Come on now. If you actually go back into the Greek and you look at what this word means, you look at they were all healed, it means all right? Anytime I say that, you already know where I'm going. It means all. When it says all, it means all. It doesn't say some. It doesn't say most of them were healed, except for that one guy where Jesus was like, you know what? Sorry, man, it's just not in the cards for you today. You never hear that Bible story. Where's that parable at? You never hear that one. Oh, you know what? You have a lot of unforgiveness in your heart, so it's not going to happen for you today. Well, the Father didn't tell me to pray for you, so sorry, you're not going to be healed today, but this person is. You don't ever see that in Scripture. What does it say? It says they were all healed. Somebody say all. Come on. John G. Lake, again, he says this, and this is so powerful, even for me as a pastor to hear. He says, now here is a sick man, and here comes the minister. As he gets close to him, the minister sees he is pretty bad. He's in trouble. And he says to himself, if I pray for him and he is not healed, the people will think I have not much faith in God. So he does the acrobatic trick and says, it may not be the will of God that you be healed. Do you see it? How many did Jesus heal? All who came to him. And in healing them all, he gave to mankind forever the finality concerning the will of God about healing the sick. There is no further point to go in demonstration that Jesus went on the subject of the will of God. If he had ever turned one poor fellow away and said, no, it is not God's will to heal you, then there could be a question mark set up. But having healed them all, he left the will of God concerning sickness forever settled and indelibly stamped forever on the human mind. That's good, isn't it? This is why I don't ever pray, if it is your will, when I'm praying for someone to be healed. I will never pray that. How many of you ever prayed that prayer before? I have in the past. Come on, just be honest. You pray like, if it's your will, Lord, like we're not sure. I don't know, right? We've prayed that prayer before, especially when we're praying for someone that's sick. It's like, Lord, if it's your will, like, would you heal them in this moment or whatever it might be? Listen, I don't pray that prayer anymore. Why? It's a prayer of unbelief. It's a prayer rooted in doubt. It's a prayer rooted already with the presupposition that maybe God doesn't want to. But he's already revealed that he does. So why would I pray something that is the antithesis of God's word that he's already given us? Why would I do that? So I don't pray if it's God's will when it comes to healing. How could you pray? Just being honest, think about it. How could you pray for somebody to be healed if you're not even sure that God wants to heal them? How could you have great faith for that? It says that the prayer of faith will heal the sick, right? That's what it says in the book of James. It's the prayer of faith. It's believing. The Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Doubt is never honored by God in any way. Doubt is never seen as a good thing in the kingdom of God. No, we have to know that we know that we know that God exists and that he rewards those that earnestly seek him. That's the book of Hebrews. It says one who doubts is like somebody who's tossed by the wind and the waves. No, we don't want to be people that doubt. We want to know that God heals. We want to know that we know that we know that he is a healing God and that he wants to still heal today. There's no way you could pray the prayer of faith if you're not even sure if God wants to heal that person. Just think about it logically. It doesn't make sense. And God reveals his perfect will to us through his son, Jesus. Did you know that Jesus is perfect theology? Did you know that? Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. If you've seen me, you have seen the Father. What does that mean? It means when you look at the life of Jesus, the things that he says, the things that he did, all of the things that you see and hear in your scripture, when you read your Bible about Jesus, the things he said and did, that is the Father. That is the Father's will. Jesus went out and healed all who were sick. You have now been revealed the Father's will. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So he reveals his perfect will to us through Jesus. But did you know that not everything that happens in this world is God's will? That's tough, but it's true. You know that we have an enemy? We have a real enemy out there. His name's Satan. Heard of him? Come on. What does it say in John 10:10? He comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. Are people stolen, killed, and destroyed in this world? Yes. Is that the will of God? No. We have a real enemy who's out to steal, kill, and destroy, who is working against the will of God and against the plan of God. And every once in a while, he might win a battle. Thank God we know he loses the war. But every once in a while, he wins a battle. Not everything that happens in this world is the will of God. Let me show you. 1 Timothy 2 says, this is good and pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. I'm going to make you say it again. Somebody say all people to be saved. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that, go ahead, all should reach repentance. You catching it, guys? There's some things that are all or nothing. There's some things that are all, not some, not most, in the kingdom of God. Is it God's will for everyone? Let's do Q&A. Is it God's will for everyone to be saved? Come on. Yes. Are all people saved? No. Not everything that happens is God's will. Is it God's will for everyone to be healed? Yes. Are all people healed? No. Not everything that happens is God's will. Well, when I'm praying, I prayed for two people, and John died when we were praying really hard, but Matt lived. And so what do I do with that? God must not heal everybody. It must just not be in his will. It wasn't in his will for him, but it was in his will for him to be healed. And this is what we do sometimes when we go through difficult situations and we go through times of not understanding and asking those questions of why, God, why? And yet we start to create theology around our circumstances. Listen, Jesus never declared that God heals some and not all. Jesus never said that. Our circumstances say that. We say that. So what's the truth? Our circumstances or Jesus? Are we going to listen to the things that we've been through and the way that we feel about a situation? Or are we going to look to the truth of God's word and look to the truth of Jesus Christ in the life that he lived? He is perfect theology. He is the Father. You've seen me, you've seen the Father. Did Jesus ever leave anybody not healed that came to him for healing? No. What happens is we believe our experience over the truth of God's word. We believe the way that we, and this is our culture that we live in. Everything in our world now is about what I think, about what I feel, about my experience, my truth. And so we have diluted the word of God because we are also individualistic that we think, well, this is what my experience was and this is how I feel about that experience, so this now must be true. And yet that's not what the word of God says at all. When it comes to healing, he's given us the finality. He says, just like John G. Lake said, he's given us everything we need to know. Jesus healed everybody. God wants to heal everybody. And if our experience doesn't line up with that, is it God's fault or is it ours? Believing your experience over God's word will put a lid on the power of God in your life. You will not see everything God wants to do if you look to yourself versus looking to Jesus. And honestly, if my experience doesn't measure up to the life of Jesus, I'm going to reevaluate my experience. I'm going to reevaluate what I think. I have a thought about God that's not in here, then my thought must be wrong, right? What do I need to change? How do I need to reevaluate what I'm thinking and what I'm experiencing? I must be seeing this through the wrong lens here. I must be looking through my own lens and my own flesh. I'm not looking through the lens of God. I'm not looking through the lens of Scripture and the lens of the life of Jesus at this situation. And so I start to pray through my own power, my own strength, instead of the strength of God. Bill Johnson says this. I was just in Missouri for 4 days at a great conference at a church called James River. Amazing what God was doing. Saw many miracles and many healings over those few days. And Bill Johnson was there. Got to talk with him for a bit. It was just incredible. And he says this. It's one of his life phrases, if you will. He says, don't create a theology around what didn't happen. Don't create a theology around what didn't happen. What God didn't do, or what you think that he didn't do, or whatever that might be. And so many times we get so discouraged and we let discouragement and disappointment and doubt override truth. Because those are some strong emotions. Those are strong feelings. Discouragement, disappointment when that person doesn't get healed. Doubt when something like what happened over the weekend. School bus gets hit and people are tragically lost. And if we're not careful, it's an avenue for the enemy to sow doubt into your mind and your heart. We have to be careful to guard our hearts against that. We still believe that God is good. Tragedy has happened. Does that mean that God is awful and evil? No, he's still good. How am I viewing this tragedy in the lens of God being good? Are you catching it? You understanding? Are we good? Come on now, somebody say amen. Yeah, help me out a little bit. So who should we pray for? You've been saying it all day. 12 of you. Good job, guys. Here we go. Luke 10, it says, when you enter a town and are welcomed, Jesus talking to his disciples, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you. He said, heal the sick there. He didn't say, heal only the ones that you're supposed to. Heal the ones that the Father reveals to you that you're supposed to pray for in that moment. Heal the ones who look really bad and leave the person with the cold alone. Or, you know, he doesn't give any qualifying statements. He just says, go heal the sick people that are there. If they come to you and they're sick, you go heal them, right? That's all he says. But we put on all these extra additives on the end of it of things that we think probably should do, right? Or, oh, he probably were doing this, or maybe we should do this because we're not the disciples and it's a little bit different, you know what I mean? And so we just start adding things that aren't there. We should pray for all. He didn't say the ones you're supposed to, only the ones I tell you to, the ones you feel led to, right? No. He said just heal all of them that are sick. James 5, 14, is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Saying, hey, if you're sick, let's pray. If you need a healing, let's anoint you. Let's pray. Let's believe for God to heal you. So then why don't we do it, right? Because there's a few groups of people in here, right? The first group of people maybe is somebody that you're like, honestly, I've never really been taught or believed that God still heals today and that God wants to use me to bring healing the same way that was in the New Testament. And I hope that what we've been talking about the last few weeks, if you haven't been here, catch up. You got 8 sermons to watch, all right? So we're on number 9. But if you haven't believed that, I want to encourage you to believe that God still heals. You got to start there, right? Then you have to believe and break through the idea that it's always God's will to heal. You see, there's these barriers that we put up, and if you can break through these mental barriers and renew the way that your mind thinks and change the things that you think about God and believe about God and how he operates and what he does and what he doesn't do, whatever, if you get right thinking, it helps your heart a lot more, and it gives you more boldness to step out in faith and do the things he calls you to do. So what's the number one reason that Christians don't pray for the sick? I think first thing is really you just don't believe that it's possible. So let's squash that right now. It is, okay? Good? All right, number 2. The main thing is for Christians who believe that the power of God is available and believe that God can heal the sick, why don't we pray for the sick then? And let's be honest, it's not theological. It's because we're afraid nothing's going to happen. It's just honestly, like, just afraid that I'm going to pray for this person. Nothing's going to happen. I'm going to look stupid, right? We talked about that when Peter told the lame beggar, you know, silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have to give to you, get up and walk. If that dude doesn't get up and walk, he looks real dumb. Peter does, right? He's going to look real stupid. And yet he does get up and walk. Praise God. But when we get in that situation, we're like, I don't know if I could just walk up to somebody and say, get up and walk, because what if they don't? I'm going to look real dumb, right? What is that? That's not faith. It's just doubt. It's just fear. And we're living from a place of fear and doubt, and yet God has given us every tool that we need to have faith and to just be able to speak that over somebody. I know it's tough. We're growing in this. But the number one reason why we don't pray for the sick, even if we believe that God can do it, is because we feel like if it doesn't happen, we're just afraid nothing's going to happen. And if nothing happens, we're going to look silly. So because we're afraid that nothing's going to happen, we never put ourselves in the situation and in the position for God to move and for something to happen. So you know what? You will always get what you feared the most. Nothing. The thing that you feared, which is nothing's going to happen, you will always get that. Nothing will ever happen because you never step out in faith. You'll never see anyone healed if you don't start praying for him, right? It's wild to me. People will say, well, I don't believe that God heals. Well, have you prayed for anybody? Well, no. Well, then how do you know, right? Like, why would I believe you, person that's never done anything? Think about it. Every healing ministry I've ever seen, they all believe the same thing. For hundreds of years, even thousands of years, they believe the same thing about God and who he is and what he does. It's God's will to heal. And they are out praying for people, y'all. The only way you learn how God works and operates is by stepping out in faith and declaring the things that he's already said are true. When you start declaring the things that God has said is true, he will back it up. I promise. He ain't gonna leave you hanging, all right? He won't leave you hanging. He'll teach you. He'll mold you. He'll shape you. Not everybody you pray for is gonna be healed. It doesn't mean that God isn't able, right? It doesn't mean that you gotta say, well, you obviously didn't have enough faith to be healed. No, we don't do that. Uh-uh. God's teaching me how to pray the prayer of faith. And the Bible says, you have not because you ask not, right? Ask and you shall receive. Jesus said, ask for anything in my name and I will give it to you. That's a pretty big statement, right? Ask for anything in my name and I'll give it to you. God, can I have a Lamborghini right now? $1 million. Can I have a yacht? Anything? You know, like anything? No, that's not what it means, obviously. He's not saying anything. He's saying, you ask for anything in my name that is within the will of the Father and I will give it to you. And he's already revealed the will of the Father concerning healing. So if you ask for healing in the name of Jesus, is Jesus going to give it to you? Come on now. Yes. Are we understanding? Are we getting this a little bit? I know this might be a little much for some of you, okay? I understand that. We have a lot of questions. You might say that, honestly, but I have a lot of questions about this, Pastor. I'm not really sure about all this stuff. I've never done this before. I've never prayed for somebody to be healed. I've never believed in that before, or I'm just learning all this right now for the first time. Or maybe you've believed this for a while, but you've never seen it in your own life. You've never seen the power of God working in you and through you in this way. And so you might say, I have a lot of questions. I'm not really sure about this. If you wait until all your questions are answered, you will end up doing nothing. You will be dead. Because not all of your questions are going to get answered. And I know that's really tough for my analytical people out there. Come on now. Like, you know who you are. You're like, oh, this is so, I don't know about all this, you know. I just have so many questions, Pastor Trevor. Here's the deal. I'll be honest with you. I am exactly the same. I have a lot of questions too. And this is where I find myself sometimes. I believe in God's healing power 100%. I've seen people healed right in front of me. Prayed for somebody 3 days ago. Deaf in one ear, and now he can hear. Incredible. It was amazing. And yeah, let's give God praise. It's amazing. And you could ask God questions like, why did that one happen, but the other one didn't? When I prayed for this guy's knee, that didn't get healed, but this guy's ear did. I'm not going to waste my time asking God why. It's not a bad question, but sometimes I have so many questions that it leads me to inaction. You feel that? Does that resonate with anybody? There's so many questions that I'm just not going to do anything because we fear what we don't understand, right? Well, I don't understand this. I fear it. It's a little foreign to me, so I'm just not going to do anything. Well, when I was at James River, you know, it's a large church. It's 20,000 people probably about, and huge, massive church. And 3 years ago, God really started to move at this church and they started to see healings like they've never seen before. They started to see God work in supernatural ways, people getting words of knowledge, which is just moving in prophetic and being able to hear things about people and situations. And it was really powerful. And so my buddy is one of the youth pastors there. And I mean, he said, you got to come and see what God is doing. And so Pastor John, who's the pastor of that church there, did a leadership session with just some of the lead pastors. Got to sit in on that with him and his wife. And he told us a story about when all this first started breaking out, when all the miracles just started and they were first really going after, they were hungry for God. They wanted to see God move. They believed that God was going to do it, and they had just been at the beginning of it. And man, Pastor John called Pastor Bill and just had so many questions. Like, what do I do here? How do I do this? What about this? I don't understand this. And he was asking so many questions. And apparently Bill just told him, he's like, John, stop asking so many questions and just go out and do it. Just go out and do it. God will teach you along the way. Just go out and do it. And I think so many of us get so caught up in the questions and the doubts and the uncertainty and the things we've been taught before, the things that we've experienced before that we've allowed to change our perception of God so much that we just end up doing nothing. And we say we believe in the power of God to heal, but we never see it happen. And you never will until you get over this. You gotta stop asking so many questions. And this is me too. I'm right there with you. I'm a habitual question asker, okay? I will ask questions of anybody. I can learn from anybody, right? I don't care who you are. And so that really spoke to me. There just comes a point, honestly, I think where you just have to believe it. And even with your questions, you obey. Even with our uncertainties of why did this happen? Why did this not? You know, the why question doesn't matter. Jesus told me to go pray for the sick. I'm going to go do it. This person didn't get healed. Okay, I'll pray for the next one. See if they do. Mark 16, it says, these signs follow those who believe in my name. And one of the things it says, they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. These signs follow those that believe. The enemy, all he has to do to get you to do nothing is change what you believe. All he has to do is distort the things that you believe about God and who he is. And you'll never pray for anybody. You'll never see breakthrough in your life. Because if you don't believe, then you won't see the signs. So we got to pray from faith, not from fear. Amen? Pray the promise and not the problem. We pray a lot harder for cancer than we do a twisted ankle, don't we? Come on now. When we pray a twisted ankle, we're like, Lord Jesus, would you just come heal this twisted ankle? We pray for cancer, it's like, be gone in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You know, like, we just like really get after it, you know? Like, we start saying, like, you know, all the Christianese, like, hallelujah, you know? It's like you morph into a Pentecostal preacher, you know? Why is that? Why do we do that? Because cancer has hurt us. Cancer has hurt you a lot. Cancer is more scary, right? And so we pray harder as if it's like my voice changing, whatever, is going to like magnify the power of God. You know, it's like, Holy Spirit, activate. You ever seen that one? Okay, no, it's not how it works, unfortunately. That'd be so dope, though, if you were just like walked up to somebody and they're like, we're in a wheelchair, and you're like, Holy Spirit, activate, and they got up. Wouldn't that be crazy? Anyway. We pray from fear. That's fear praying is what that is. We pray from anxiety. We pray from fear instead of praying from a place of faith and a place of understanding the promises of God. Cancers hurt people. That's why we pray harder against it. But all you're doing is exalting cancer above Jesus. Don't exalt cancer. Cancer has to bow at the name of Jesus. Amen. Every demon in hell has to bow at the name of Jesus. Why would cancer have any authority? No. Jesus spoke to the problems directly. He didn't ask for healing. He just declared it. And really, faith is how we give and receive healing. This is how we do it. We got to have faith. Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There was the woman with the issue of blood, right? And what does Jesus say? He says, your faith has made you well. There's the paralytic that gets dropped through the roof. And it says that when he saw their faith, he saw the faith of the friends who dropped him in. Then the story of the lame beggar, Peter, it was his faith where he said, get up and walk. And he wasn't even getting up yet. And he had to go over and pick him up and stand him up before he was healed. So I don't care whose faith it is, but somebody's faith has to be activated. Somebody has to have some faith in Jesus that God can do what he said he was going to do. Amen? Somebody has to have it. It's the prayer of faith that heals the sick. It's not, oh, well, you didn't have enough faith. No. We don't pray that over people. No. I'm learning. I'm growing in faith. I'm growing in my prayer life. I want to have more faith. It's a declaration of healing from a believer. I don't always know how it works. Be honest. There's times when I've walked in this more than I have not. And there's times when I haven't seen a lot of healing in my life. And to be honest, the reason is because you stop praying for people, right? But man, I want to see God move. And we need to have an increase. What I feel like God wants to do in our church is just increase our hunger for more. Like increase our hunger and belief system that God can move mountains in the name of Jesus Christ. That there is power in the name. Amen? Amen? There's power in the name of Jesus. I don't want to have a dead church and a dead religion. Man, I want to have a church that's alive, that like we believe in the power of God. I want people, when it said in Acts 4:13 that the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the teachers of the law, all these people were getting together and the highest of the chief priests are trying to pin something on them and they're standing back and saying, but because the lame beggar was standing in front of them, what else could they say? That's what I want the people outside of these four walls to say about Radical Church. Man, we don't believe in what they believe in, but obviously God is moving at that place. God is doing something powerful at that Radical Church. Have you heard about what's going on right now? Have you heard about all the healing? Have you heard about the crazy stuff going on at Radical Church? Man, those people are on fire for God. I can't believe everything, but just something going on there at that place. What else could we say other than God is obviously moving? You gotta have hunger, though. It all starts with you hungering for more of God. If you don't want it, it will not happen. It will not. It will not happen. It's just so easy to just go through our everyday lives just not thinking about it, you know? And I get that. But man, I feel like God's calling us to a higher place of faith. He's calling us to a deeper place of hunger. And if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, oh my goodness, it says all these things will be added. All these things will be added to you. John Wimber said, another great pastor, he said, you can't learn how to heal the sick by reading a book or mastering a technique. You believe what Jesus promised and you get out and do it. I love that. I could teach you all day long. I could give teaching, but at the end of the day, teaching doesn't change us. It's getting out there and believing God and just believing what he promised and getting out and doing it. That's what changes you from the inside out. It's God that will teach you in that moment. I won't be there with you when you're praying for somebody. I can't be there and be like, all right, now do that. It's not a formula. It's a relationship. So I don't know how this is going to happen, but I know that God said it was going to happen, right? That's all I know. And honestly, I don't like not knowing. I don't like stepping into the unknown, right? I said it earlier, we fear what we don't understand, what we don't know. But yet at the end of the day, this is what God is calling our church to do and to be. This is who we are going to be as a church. And if we are not those people yet, and if we haven't stepped into this yet, man, there is grace for every step of the journey. Don't be down on yourself because you haven't been praying for the sick. Don't be down because you're like, I didn't know any of this and I feel like I'm a bad Christian. No. That's not what we're doing here. No. We're all going to grow in our faith together to see God do more. Amen? Would you stand with me? I just want to simply pray a prayer over you. And, you know, this next week, we are going to be inviting hundreds of people into this house. I think I said it in this service, but there's already 400 people that are signed up to come to Easter at Radical. It's incredible. And so do it before you leave today. But what I'm believing is for 100 people to be saved. And I'm not talking just about salvation and saying yes to Jesus. I'm talking about healed, restored, delivered, and made whole in the name of Jesus. Amen. My whole message next week, just to give you a sneak peek, is about Jesus being our healer. And the idea that on the cross, he paid for our healing. I've talked about it before, but he not just only paid for our physical healing, but he paid for our emotional healing. That trauma and depression, or that trauma and emotions that will be healed, mended in the name of Jesus, that he paid for our mental health and our mental healing as well, that anxiety, depression, fear, all these things that we struggle with would be gone in the name of Jesus. For our physical healing, of course, we're going to pray for people. We're going to pray for spiritual healing, spiritual hurts, from past church hurt it might be, or from past leaders that have abused you in some way. I don't know what that looks like, but I know many people that have been in a situation like that. Maybe you have been hurt spiritually because of something that happened in your life. And listen, I don't really know, but what I do know is that there's going to be a lot of broken people that come into this place that leave made whole in the name of Jesus next week. And I need you to be a part of it. And we're going to pray right now for healing to come into this house next week. That even as right now, we're going to be praying. And I just encourage you to pray this whole week as we lead up to Easter. And today's Palm Sunday, and we have Good Friday, and we have Easter and Resurrection Sunday. Man, I just pray that you would be in this position of praying for healing and praying for those that will come, that God would move in advance on their hearts to draw them into the house of God, and that they would be able to find healing, salvation, healing, deliverance, and wholeness in the name of Jesus. Come on, can you just lift up your voice? Let's pray together for a moment. Father God, we ask for healing in this place right now. Lord, as we get ready for Resurrection Sunday, for Easter Sunday, as people are going to be coming into this house that maybe would never step foot through the doors of a church, but they will on this Sunday. God, we declare healing for them in the name of Jesus. We declare wholeness. We declare hope. We declare everything that you want for them, God, that it would be, that would happen in the name of Jesus next Sunday, Lord, in every service, that people would give their lives to you, that they would be transformed from the inside out, and they would walk in broken, but they would leave whole. They would walk in addicted, but they would leave set free in the name of Jesus. They would walk in bound, but Jesus, you set the captives free, and so they would leave free in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that they would be saved, healed, delivered, and made whole. It's only by your power that it happens, God. We ask for emotional healing, spiritual healing, physical healing, mental healing. We ask for all of these things, God. For every person that's in this room right now that needs a healing, God, would you give it to them, Lord, in the name of Jesus? Would you give them the faith to pray for others to be healed? God, would you raise our hunger in this place? Come on, just for a moment, would you lift your voice to God and just say, God, I'm hungry for you. I need you, Lord. I need more of you, God. Don't worry about the person to the left or right of you. Come on, just give him praise right now. God, we need more of you, Lord. We want to see miracles in this house. We want to see your power move in this place, Lord Jesus. We need you, God. We need your presence, Lord. Without your presence, we have absolutely nothing. So God, we thank you that you're moving in this place. Would you increase our hunger, increase our faith to see miraculous things in us and through us, that the world outside of here would look to Radical Church as a beacon of hope and a place of life, a place of healing, that we would have sick people come to this place and they would know that they could be healed because of what we carry in this house. In the name of Jesus, we declare hope and healing right now. Jesus' name, somebody shout amen and give him some praise in the house of God for a second. We love you, Lord. Thank you. Amen, amen, amen. Hey, I believe God wants to do big things in you and through you. Please come back next week and make sure to sign up. We want to have a seat for you and your family and invite somebody. Who is your one? Who's that person that God is putting on your heart right now that will find hope next week? We'll see you then.